Hey guys, how's it going? My name is Joseph Fordham and this is NPLH In Conversation With, the football podcast that isn't about football, brought to you by NPLH Studio. NPLH is more than a podcast. Once you've hit the follow button, visit nplhmag.com to enjoy online reads, subscribe to our newsletter and browse our collection of magazines, prints and apparel. On to the show. Paul Desbailliers is a Canadian entrepreneur, media personality and founder of the charity Goal. Our first conversation came in the midst of the pandemic when his podcast, The First Half, was in its embryonic stages. Picking up 4 years later, the show, his businesses and the charity continue to thrive. It only took about 4 minutes of this call to understand why. Paul details how life in hospitality lends itself well to building a successful podcast, the karmic origins of the charity, why community is key, and his take on what it takes to move forward. The conversation came 4 days before I left the relative safety of full-time employment, and I'll be honest, I saw an opportunity for a bit of free mentoring. I took plenty from it, and I hope you can too.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, got you, mate. How you doing?
I'm okay. Yourself?
Yeah, really good. You're in situ, in the Burgundy Lion.
Yes, sir. The music's off, though, so...
Mate, it must be the best part of 4 years since we last saw each other on a screen like this.
Was it 4 years? Yeah, it's easily, no?
Would have been middle of the pandemic, I think.
Oh, yeah. I guess so.
Yeah, I think that was when Instagram Live was all the rage. Peak pandemic.
Yeah, and that's where the first half was born, right?
Yeah. It seems to have gone from strength to strength.
It's definitely going and crazy. Well, it's going. I find it slow as fuck, but that's what it is. Funny enough, March 1st will, because of where we're at, sort of situated, we're going to put together, well, we've put together a 3 month, I think that's about 14 episode actual live radio show. It's going to happen with TSN 690. So they've picked up as the first half. So we'll have our podcast. We'll have this radio show, but we'll add all the usual bells and whistles and do some video content. And hopefully something will amalgamate from it all.
Just rewinding slightly to where you said that's going a bit too slow for your tastes.
Show?
It doesn't seem to be from the outside. Yeah. So is that like a hint of a bit of impatience?
Yeah. I'm an impatient person, but I'm also, it's my own fault for, there must've been there's been some lapses, where I've just been lazy and just did IG stuff versus the whole picture. So, which means, you know, putting stuff on YouTube, making sure it's on Apple, making it on Spotify, doing the audio versus the visual too. Like, I just got lazy and would do one IG thing and let it move on from that. But that's my own doing, which definitely derails things. And then when I say my own liking, well, that's just because I'd love it to be, well, you know, the goal is to have a show a week. But to do that, there needs to be money coming in that deserves a show a week worth of, you know, content, creating stuff, organizing to get, as you know, doing all the things that sort of make it work. Otherwise, if you're just doing it for fun, that's cute. But I don't, I do it because I love it. But there needs to be, I do have two little beautiful children and a wife. So it's not like I can hang out and just shoot podcasts.
Yeah. Dental protection and stuff like that, right?
No joke.
Doesn't come cheap.
No.
No, I'm not, yeah.
Fuck no, it doesn't.
So it's interesting you say lazy. I mean, from the outside looking in, it feels like that's a bit hard on yourself because you've got your fingers in all sorts of pies over there. It's not like you're just doing a podcast. Like, you run multiple businesses.
Yep.
You've got the Burgundy Lion, which...
Are we shooting the show or is this...
We go straight in.
Oh, fucking amazing. Okay.
This is lo-fi. This is like... So, yeah, like you say, I'm getting one out a week, but it's... And yeah, it is a bit of a challenge. Even at this lo-fi level and what you're producing is a lot higher. spec than that. So I can.
No, I don't know how much higher spec that is, but it's, you know, like, well, as you know, so there's the option of when we're shooting a show like this, we're using fantastic, you know, tools that are available to us online. And then there's when I have an in-person that I'm hoping to capture more live. In-person is very different than video as or as a screen, as you can imagine, right, with the energy and how it reacts. So then in that case, I'm getting a camera guy in who's somebody I trust anyways, but it's still a human, and though that human has dollars and cents attached to them. And then, you know, so it all has to boil down. Again, this way, all the production, everything's on you and I, right? Like when you're doing your video and stuff, it's all on you. You do it or you don't. You work on the quality or you don't. You clip it or you don't. But if you have somebody involved where you've hired basically for them to come and shoot for that amount of time, well, then there's, you know, those other pieces that sort of connect to it. Again, it sounds like it's not a, it's all good. It's just, then that show's value has just skyrocketed, right? Again, that's if you're looking at your show as a business and sort of money out versus money in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, going back to 2020 and the, like, for want of a better word, humble beginnings of IG.
Mm-hmm.
How does it go from that? Because I think that's a relatively short period of time, really.
4 years.
Yeah, really. But yeah, but then maybe that lends to or hints at a lack of urgency on my part. An urgency on your part, but you've grown that considerably. You know, there's a, you know, the guests speak for themselves. The content speaks for itself. There's a lot speak for themselves. Sorry, there is a growth there. But how does it go from literally just putting something up on IG to then you're talking about, you've got a shooter. You've got the quality of guests you're getting on. I know there's probably some spin-offs with your connections within the game that have maybe helped that grow. That will lead into
that part for sure. During the pandemic too, we were creating special content for our local MLS club. So that helped as well. Yeah, they needed to sort of put together some sort of package for their season ticket holders that had nothing. They couldn't do anything during that moment in time. So we were producing special content where we were talking to some of their players and some of those things. So that was an interesting understanding and learning curve. But I started with IG literally daily, IG lives. I was talking to everybody from staff to friends to anybody, you know, like, yo, you want to come talk for a few minutes about how you don't kill yourself, how you keep yourself exercising, how's it like not having full, you know, it wasn't hard. We were all going loony at that point. So that was on the daily. And then, again, I like to call the first half a culture show, not a podcast. The reason that being is everybody and the mom has a podcast and it's totally respectable, but I feel like, I don't know. I'm not so sure I fit in the category of podcast. And that's something, again, that's just how I feel about it. That's why I like to call it the culture show. But again, you can't go on Spotify calling it a culture show, right? Like you do, there's certain things you got to podcasting. But the idea of conversation has always been, I mean, that's literally my business, or has been my business since I can remember, since I was 18, right? So the food and beverage world, you're always talking to people. So I enjoy that part, and using football as an opportunity for conversations and another easy sort of low hanging fruit, if you want to call it, because again, there's addiction to the sport. But on my side, again, it's about the culture. When you're talking to me from across the pond, and when we connected again, nothing's changed when we first connected, you know, with the mag and sort of the stuff that you're doing. The addiction to the culture is there. The game, I love the game, but I'm not going to sit around and talk to you about averages and that sort of thing, because I feel I leave that to the experts. The experts of the game, ex-players, coaches, pundits that study all of that. But on the culture side of it, I will go toe-to-toe with just about anybody. I don't care, you know, for anything. I'm constantly consuming that part. And so, again, it was just a natural fit to have a conversation with like-minded boys and girls that were down with football, down with calling it footy or soccer. I don't, you know, that means nothing to me at this point. At one point, I thought that was such a big deal, and it's just so fucking not a big deal, which is hilarious. No, but it's a big deal if you want it to be, and it's really not if you don't. You know what I mean? But it's that kind of thing. Like, you can just choose to. I mean, again, we even train our staff in some of the our pubs and restaurants to, from the get go, you call it football. Like, I call it football, but you say it's soccer. I mean, who gives a fuck? Let's be honest. And anyways, soccer derives from the UK too, from the same association, right? So, but the point being is it was easy. What I mean by easy, it was easy to understand that's something I want to do. Now, all the rest of the stuff, the technical side of it, super complicated. And then it's not complicated. And then it really is complicated. And then, you know, like, easy things are never as easy as you think they are. And then, you know, here we are talking in 2024 about, you know, a journey of some sort. And, you know, same for you, man. Like, think about all the stuff you've done. Think about your journey in that time since we first met.
Oh, man, we could have several episodes if you want to go into that.
Life I'm sure changed. We I'm sure we have. I'm sure I'm sure you already have, no?
Yeah. Oh, mate. Shudder at the thought of some of it, so I won't go too far back, but we're here.
Yeah.
That's the important thing. That's the important thing, right?
Yeah.
Do you think the, like, moving into, so, well, I guess beginning the first half initially lends to, like, a natural curiosity for people that you have, or is it just that you, it is just the connection that you enjoy?
Oh yeah, well, I totally get off on that. That's the whole point.
Yeah. So is that, like, you've been in hospitality for, well, since you were a kid?
Yeah.
From what I gather.
Yeah.
Is that what's kind of spawned that curiosity and the confidence to then kind of pursue that kind of line of those lines of conversations?
Yeah, good question. I'm not so sure. Well, the line of work definitely lends itself to that curiosity and that sort of being able to sort of jazz and talk with somebody back and forth. That 100% is a piece of it. Getting to know somebody, that's a good question, because I think when it comes to the industry, like, let's say bars and restaurants or, you know, hospitality, at a certain point, a lot of the people that I know in the business, when they're not in a hospitality setting, want to shut down completely, right? Take 10 minutes off. Don't want to talk. Don't want to, you know, just, it's the one moment not to talk. I find myself sometimes flirting with that a little bit, but when it comes to football, and any of the guests that I'm ever talking to always have a link to football in some capacity. It's either they're in it 100%, or, you know, it was their dad or their mom that followed a club, or there's something. Like, I've, again, if we're talking on the first half, I know that there's something, right? That's why we reached out and, like, yo, want to come, you know, talk about what you're up to. I might ask you one or two football little, you know, laden elements, and then you take it from there. It doesn't have to be heavy, but there's something there on the thematic. So yeah, I mean, I love trying to put those pieces together or seeing those links. And so then it's easy when you're meeting a guest or you're speaking to somebody that, again, I've reached out. It's never, hey, I'd really love to be on the show. I've never had that. It's always been like either an email or a DM or a call or somebody I know face to face. Hey, would you come do the show? This is what we're going to talk about. A lot of people are usually nervous. They're like, wow, football. I don't fucking talk about football. Even if they're in football, I don't know what to say. I don't, you know, I'm like, dude, it's got nothing. Don't worry about it. We're not even going to talk about football. We're just going to get into other stuff. The same way we started the show. I'm like, are we even fucking shooting the show? You're like, yeah, we're shooting. I'm like, okay.
So like this show, the first half is essentially a football podcast that's not about football, but the people that you're speaking to.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what maybe a lot of the success is down to. People are interested in people, and it's relatable. What's apparent to me is that you even through screen. We've never met in person. We've only spoken on.
We spoke through
screen during the pandemic and again now. And something that is still very apparent is what I interpret as quite a supreme level of self-confidence. And I'm wondering if that's what people in the UK might label as like a typically North American thing, because that's just the, maybe like a stereotype.
Yeah.
Or if this is something that goes a lot deeper beneath the surface than that, that is maybe a byproduct of the industry that you've been involved in, or something that you work on.
Well, confidence.
Yeah.
So first of all, for confidence, I think everybody's working on all the time. If you're not, it's probably bullshit kind of, I'm confident, I don't need to work on confidence. Each to their own. I'll speak for myself because that was the question. You're always working on bettering yourself and being a little less shy. Or when I was in high school, I couldn't have done a book report in front of 15 of my own classmates. Forget it. Bright red, sweating, like, forget it. Today, I can talk in front of quite a lot of people at one time. That took 25, 30 years to get to, right? Confidence. Well, the industry definitely, again, you're talking to random people you've never met and you have to be open, loose, and ready to go. So you have to have a different energy about you, right? Standoffish won't work in hospitality, right? And likewise, being somebody that's overconfident can be very uncomfortable too, overconfident is the wrong word, but somebody that's like kind of too much in your space, if that makes sense, like too at it. You're just like, pace yourself, sir or ma'am. I get you. I appreciate that's, you're approaching me with some information, but just like, step it back a sec. We will get there together, you know, that kind of thing. That's a very interesting question, one that's, I think, very hard to answer. I don't think I do enough self-analysis to be able to answer that one. But there is confidence. There's confidence because I believe in what I'm doing. There's lots of self-doubt, too, because lots of shit fails. So I'm always like, wow, that didn't work. What did I miss? Right? So, no, but yeah, I know, yeah. But like, so I have a lot of both of it. So I'm constantly like, hey, I got this. And then boom, we get smashed across the head. Oh, yeah. Woo. Oh, yeah. Right. I don't. And then back at it again, back at it again, back at it again. So it's somewhere there. Maybe, yeah, there's a bit of a building up of confidence. But is it confidence, or is it just like I've just failed so many times and gone at it so many times that some really hit and some still don't? And I still have to keep figuring out what goes on. And usually I have no time to even analyze what didn't go wrong, and I'm just still going forward. And, is that a fair answer to the question?
Yeah, no, that is. Yeah, I'm just wondering if that's maybe part of like being a businessman, entrepreneur. You know, this, you don't have the time to, I guess, swim about in a bit of self-pity. You've got to kind of crack on with it.
Well, when you work for yourself, 100%, that's the case. 100%.
You learn that the hard way.
Well, yeah. If you're lollygagging around, dude, and you're not getting, there's money not coming into the bank, things aren't getting paid. Things aren't getting paid means staff isn't getting paid. Taxes aren't getting paid. You're not feeding your family. Whatever your list is of got to take care of. So if you're an independent, right?
Yeah.
Don't wake up. No problem. Don't wake up. Well, okay. Right. No, but does that, you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Skip a day of work. If you work for somebody, you don't have to, you have to worry, but you don't have the same worries. I don't know.
Yeah. That's interesting. Cause that's the world I'm leaving behind very, very shortly. And that false security of the regular paycheck, and like you say, less to worry about. I guess to be vulnerable here, there's an element of fear on my side. On what's the other side of that? Because I've not been in that kind of
scenario.
Not been in that position before. Yeah. Well, apart from there was a 5-year period about 10 years ago, and maybe it didn't go so well. So maybe my fingers are still a little bit burned, from that. But maybe that experience will stand me in good stead. But yeah, a little bit of fear does come with it. But yeah, as necessity breeds invention, and you start to see ways that you can earn money from something that you just thought was fun.
Right.
You know, and yep. I guess what I am conscious of is that any progress in that department will strip away from the enjoyment, which it did when I spent time as a photographer. Mm-hmm. But again, yeah, maybe through the benefit of that experience, I can avoid any repeat of that. You know?
Well, then then you got exactly what you needed out of that experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You spin a lot of plates. You've got Burgundy Lion, which, as I understand it, is kind of the place in Montreal to catch a game of football.
Yeah.
It's like you've created that kind of hub. You've got the First Half podcast, which has grown what I would say incredibly well over the past 4 years. Not quickly enough for you, but it's growing. But you've also got Goal Initiatives, which mm-hmm. is a different beast. Animal entirely.
Yeah,
a different beast entirely, which is a charity initiative, but doesn't look like it comes easy. There's a lot of organization that goes into that.
Hell yeah.
I, from my own experience, know how difficult it is to get 10 mates together to play football once a week for a fiver.
Right.
So, yeah. So I'm keen to. Well,
yeah, but remember, wait a second. Give yourself credit, because that's every week.
Less so now that I've hit 40.
No, but you know what I mean. Like that. Yeah. That's still every Sunday or every whatever the day of the week it is. So that makes a big difference too. Makes a big difference too.
Yeah, true. But there aren't the beyond getting the bodies on the pitch. The logistics are non-existent. Whereas setting up a football tournament, a community football tournament to raise money for
different local causes
that's a big, big undertaking. So you've got a bar. I think you've got two bars actually.
We actually, right? Believe it or not, our group has three bars and a fish and chip restaurant. A chippy.
Right.
A chippy.
So you've got four establishments. You've got a podcast, like a growing podcast, but then you've got this other beast on the side.
Yeah.
I guess I'm keen to know, the origins of Goal Initiatives.
Okay.
And then how you get that off the ground whilst you are running those businesses that are responsible, that are supporting people's lives, livelihoods. So the pressure that comes with that, plus doing a podcast, plus dad of two kids. Family man, how are you not on your knees? I guess is what I'm getting at.
Well, so I am on my knees.
We just get back up a little bit.
That's right. I don't know. I just do. So that's the first answer. I wish I could answer better than that. I just, each one of those things has a calling to me in its own sort of respect. The culture show, for whatever that means to me. The bars and restaurants, well, it's different because that's been going on for 15 years now. And there's a good group of partners, and everybody knows what they got to do to sort of make it work. And even when you don't, you figure it out anyways, and then you move on. We have wins and losses in that industry as well, in that business. And as for goal, the way... on a karmic level, and not like let's smoke pot and I'm some sort of fucking hippie style, like a living man, but it's more of a, if you're taking, you got to give, right? Like it's so basic. And so goal was birthed out of the idea that if we were going to have people from the neighborhood constantly supporting us, showing up, buying our food, buying our drink, buying our merch, hanging out, becoming part of that family and supporting us, that we had to find a way to give back to that community. And so we would choose different community organizations that deserve dollars and cents, and we'd throw an event and we'd say like, hey, you write a check to so-and-so, and I'm going to put on a football game and let's put a couple of teams and have some drinks and make some noise. And I remember the first goal was probably the, well, it's going in its 15th year, but, it's going in its 14th year. It was a total disaster. It was pouring rain. It was freezing in the middle of summer and summer. But summer in Montreal can really just fuck you good. Like, I know that makes no sense, but it could be any day of the week here, you can have snow. You know, like, it's that kind of thing. I'm joking, but you know what I mean. Like, it's just like, it was a freezing, rainy day in June. I was like, oh, we're done. And I remember just seeing people walking around with steam coming off of their bodies because they were hot. And, like, the rain was cold. And they were smoking. They were drinking. I was like, yeah, this will never happen. Like, never happen again. And here we are. And so over the years, it grew and it became a registered charity with the federal government, so we can write charity tax receipts. But then that adds burden with lawyers and board members and tax returns and all the other magic that comes with being, you know, there's always a pro and a con to everything. But we've grown to a goal becoming, it's called the Golden Shiz Football Festival, and it happens yearly, and it's going to happen again this year, July 14th. But that's exciting because July 14th will also be, as you can imagine, and I know you're aware, it is both the Euro final as well as Copa America happening in North America. So that'll be interesting. We'll create some sort of viewing events around those finals as well while this festival's happening. And we've chosen some great organizations to support, some international, some local, and we raise dollars and cents. And whatever we can give back after you rent the field and buy the ice, you know, the usual garbage, all goes to some really, really deserving people. Like, I mean, when you meet some humans that are in the community and sort of charity space, I don't even like the title. It's like people that work in community. People that work in community are busting their ass all the time for nothing. It's like police or firemen or teachers or doctors. You know, it's like that kind of thing. It's like they're in it because they want to do right. And so if we can help a little bit, however that looks, do it. And if we, I think it's just your duty as a human in 2024. I know this started years ago. I'm just saying, like, it's still your duty today. Like, that hasn't changed in my mind, you know, You just can't take, you have to give, but you don't always have to just give either. And so that's why I believe there's, like, it's a nice little mix, you know, like you take a little, you give a little, you know, that kind of thing. And I think if everybody was to sort of think like that, you probably, it's like, you know, when you go by and the people leave books in a special open, you know, either locker or some sort of unit that's out there in the public, like open the door, put a book, take a book, that kind of concept. I think society would be in a little bit of a better place if everybody just put their brains in that sort of mindset or that stream. Just take, give, that kind of thing. So that's where goal was birthed. I mean, that's obviously the super fast version of it, but that's it. That's where it comes from.
How was its growth over those 14 years? How has it impacted you? I mean, like, you've seen that idea grow from a rainy day in June.
Yeah.
To thinking that is
a freezy rainy day. Like, I'm saying it on purpose because it's like, you fucking kidding me? It's June. It was one of those, like, no, but you have to understand what I'm telling you. Like, it was just like, there's just no chance. You're like, you've got to be kidding me. It wasn't like I chose May. I didn't choose spring. This wasn't spring. This was June. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I live in Britain. I know what you mean.
Yeah, I know you. That's what I'm saying. Like, you definitely know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry, I cut you off. The question was, how's that affected me?
Yes, and yeah, maybe affected is the wrong word, but okay. If you look back on that day, that first day 14 years ago,
yeah,
and you look at what it is now.
Yeah.
I know you say you don't often spend much time on self-reflection, but do you reflect on goal, for example, as an example of something that you've built and grown, and reflect on the impact that it has on its community?
So yes, and I must say again, I've built with others around me. those volunteers and those boys and girls, and especially a few, there's a handful of people that have been helping over and over and over again. Gold doesn't happen without them. So this is, I might have the idea, but that's where it ends. And then it's like, you know, I push as much as I can through. And then after that, we have people that are super amazing around helping. So this is not a one person show. It's hard to explain because I'm literally in the middle of planning 2024. Not planning, excuse me. I'm about to roll out all the stuff we have planned for this year. So I'm just thinking about this year. And I'm thinking about how we're going to, you know, ooh, we're going to do a little bit more. Okay, great. Now it's so shit. How are we going to make that work? Instead of just doing what's usual. That's what's funny about Goal. It's never typical. We're always working with different artists, or there's always something happening that makes it unique and living and breathing on its own. Yeah, that's a great question. Again, I mean, your questions are really, you know, they're extremely intelligent and thought provoking. I just don't think too much about these sorts of things. I'm always moving forward in that sense. And when it comes, again, it comes down to Goal being just such an important part of my life, because giving back is so key. Again, I swear it's not like in a hippie way. It's like, just good karma, dude. Like, I don't want to get hit by a bus. It's just give some stuff, get some stuff. Let's go back and forth. And when you do some good and you see what it's done, whew, man, you see something happens with a kid that was sick that you spoiled rotten on one of the days. We've written a check at a food bank, or you've done something here, you've done something, and you've seen where that dollar's going. Come on. If that doesn't grab your little heartstrings, then you're a fucking robot.
But it's a fantastic example of being of service, isn't it? It's said that is where it's like a true source of self-esteem, is to be of service and to be a part of your community. That is the key. Touching on what you just said about not thinking too much, you're in the now. It's funny, my uncle said something similar to me back in the summer when I asked him a few questions. He's a business owner like you. I asked him about his confidence, his general disposition, because it seems to be different from my other aunts and uncles, or the siblings of my mum. You know, they were saying he seems to be a bit of an outlier in that respect. And he put it down to running a business and just having to get on with things, make mistakes. But he also said, you think too much. That's your problem.
He said that to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but that's
so
that's
maybe
your
you're
thing.
On the right track.
No, yeah. But that's also your thing. Like, that's part of what makes you you. When you were working on all the different, from what I know of you, that's the cerebral part, this thinking, this analyzing, this looking at it from different sort of perspectives. You putting a whole bunch of different things together through these conversations, that's 100% your brain. He's wrong in that sense, or he's wrong is not the right word. That's who you are. It's who you are.
Yeah,
like, it's all.
Yeah, we've all got our ways, right? I mean, maybe the answer lies somewhere in the middle of the two.
Yeah,
for a bit of balance. But you seem to lean much more towards like the stoic end, which is like, here, now, and what are we doing? Like, what can we do now, rather than like, what could I have done? What should I have done?
Sure.
That's...
Yeah, I do. I mean, stoic's a big word, so let's not use that. That definitely do, but I do look back on fails. That's for sure. Do you know what I mean? I definitely look back on fails. But I don't always overanalyze the whole... Had those fails. I just don't want to make them again. I don't make those mistakes again. Is that fair? I don't make those mistakes again. I'll make new mistakes. No problem. That's no problem. No, I do. It's a constant. You make new mistakes. I just won't make the same ones. Right?
You say you're not scared of making mistakes.
I'm fucking petrified, but it doesn't change anything. I still have to do them. Still gonna make them. Well, it's unavoidable. If you're gonna try and do anything, and if you're gonna try and create anything, you're gonna fuck up. No chance. It might not be apparent right away. It might be down the line. You're like, oh, this has been such a success. Then all of a sudden something happens. The rub pulls, oh, I wasn't prepared for that. I wasn't prepared for this. No problem. So to think you're going to do something without a mistake, you're out of your tree.
Sometimes that can stop you from acting, is the fear of making a mistake, right? It can stop you from wanting to make that first step.
100% the reason everybody doesn't do stuff.
Yeah.
100% the reason. So what?
Yeah, so what? I mean, you put it so simply that it does make...
Well, I know, but you can make things, you can make anything in life very complicated, or you can make everything in life extremely easy. I don't think anything's easy, personally. But it's sort of... How are you going to attack the issue at hand? How are you going to get over the issue in front of you? Well, you can whine about it or not. You know, and these are other things that you learn too after lots of fails, like sitting around whining about your glass half empty versus half full. It's mindsets. It's this, it's that. It's listening a little, you know, too much of the self-help crap on, you know, podcasts. But it is true. It's what you set your mind to. It's how you're going to look at it. There'll be hiccups. How long do you hold on? Do you harbor? You know, this kind of stuff. If you do, cool. Try and fix that as much as you can. Just be happy with yourself. Once you're happy with yourself, I don't think you're ever 100% satisfied with yourself. I don't think anybody can be. I think if you're constantly evolving and growing, then you can't possibly be satisfied. Does that make sense? Something's always changing. I don't know. I mean, I might have just rambled off on there, but there's no clean answer to anything. There can't be. I think, well, we know what's right and what's wrong and, you know, the general sense of it. But other than that, I think it's pretty much all in the gray.
This mindset, which to me is like very dug in, like, you know, there's a lot of security in what you're saying there. You know, like you could, by dug in, I mean, you're sturdy on your feet, in, you know, metaphorically. Is that something that has come from being in this industry, or is this something that's been instilled on you from your childhood before you got into this industry, a bit of both, or what?
No, I think it's come over time. It's come over time. It's definitely come over time. It's come over, you know, before even the bars and the restaurants. I had a clothing store with some of my buddy, you know, two of my friends. So there was always out there fighting to make noise and create stuff and do interesting things. Other than that, I don't know. I don't think it's from birth. You know what? To be perfectly honest, I think a lot of the mindset that I have today has developed very strongly since the pandemic, because I'm still fucking standing and we're talking. So not just on health, but also I'm still, it might be tight and there might be a lot of goddamn financial juggling going on, but still here. You know, we're still getting it done. So I think that mindset has definitely developed recently. So what am I instilling in my kids? Hopefully I'm instilling that kind of concept in their kids from a younger age, and whatever happens in life will happen in their life. But I would definitely think that a lot of my stuff comes from recently acquired punches to the gut to put myself in a more fuck, man, like, we're going to sit here and cry about this, or am I going to make this work, you know, figure out how to make this work. And I think that's recent, man. Like, that's, you know, 2022, 2023. I mean, again, I've had a positive mindset. I'm not here because of the last 2-3 years. You know what I mean? But the last 2 or 3 years definitely hardened some of the stances I have on some things and have definitely put me in a mental space that's I'm proud of where my brain's at. I'm still exhausted. None of this changes. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't overthink this thing. I just know that I'd rather be on a positive set than on a negative set. It's like, you have a better chance of getting through your 24 hours if there's more to look to the funny of things and the smile of things and like, ah, fuck, not this again. I'll deal with it. Versus, you know, like the Eeyore sort of complex, that kind of thing. So that's it.
It sounds so simple, but I guess when it's distilled, it is a choice, isn't it? It is distilled down to a choice of doing A or doing B, going down either one of those routes. It's interesting to think of when we first met that your business would have been in the firing line, and as a result, like your livelihood and all those people around it. So it's a lot of stress to carry.
Hell yeah.
So, I mean, how did you juggle that? I know, again, we've touched on the, am I going to cry about it? Am I going to move on? But you're carrying a lot in that time. Right. What's your outlet?
Well, the outlet was the show.
Right.
It all circles right back to that. There you go. There's your answer. The outlet was IG lives every day. And after that for a while, then it went to finding, you know, some stuff with the first half. And then after that, goal went for 2 years digital. It was doing video content to give out, you know, like cooking classes and exercise classes and mental health classes and DJ classes and whatever it was. So that's how goal was supporting the community.
So you didn't let that stop.
No, I just so didn't have physical activities.
It's really interesting because you could be forgiven for putting that on pause until we can meet in real life and kick about again. But community is that important to you that you found another way around keeping that going?
Well, community and being busy, I think, like you're. People that can't stop just don't stop. They have to find ways to keep themselves rolling, right? But yeah, you and people were down to give back that way, and it gave me something to do and to constantly be pushing forward with stuff. And like I said, I mean, for the IG lives, I was talking to everybody from footballers to literally, you know, servers and busboys and bartenders and crew right from the restaurants. So it was literally the entire gamut. And as for the sort of the give back with the videos, well, that's because I think it's a cool thing. It's an important thing, you know. And the videos, again, we had some really, you know, chefs and artists and footballers and musicians, all these really like exceptionally cool people that I was lucky enough to somehow sweet talk into giving us their time for these videos. And then we created these videos and they just went out for free, right? Like I tried to wrangle stuff with sponsorships to cover the cost of everybody doing the production and editing and all that. And again, here we are, you know? And I'm not trying to cut it short. I'm just not trying to dive. Like it's, yeah, you just do. You just do.
You just do.
Yeah.
Is spare time an alien concept for you?
Yeah, totally. There's no spare time. But I got two kids, dude.
Yeah.
Got two young kids. Yeah. Like that's spare time went out the door 8 years ago.
Yeah, I'm just trying, you know, I'm not that it's fair to compare. Everyone's doing their own thing, but you know, it's having one kid. I don't have a kid, but for argument's sake, having one kid and a full-time job and all of this kind of thing can mean friendships drop off or whatever.
Oh yeah, there's no friends.
But you've got, you know, I'm not blowing smoke up your ass, but it is impressive. And for the second conversation on the trot, last week's recording as well, I'm just left with the unavoidable conclusion that I am not doing enough. and I'm not just saying that. It's I'm going through a period of
rebuild.
Yeah, and it's been a quick one and a slow one all at once. So from 2021, the beginning of 2021 specifically, a lot of change in that time, a lot of positive change, a lot of cans that are no longer being kicked down the road, so to speak.
Right.
And it feels like this there's a few missing pieces, and yeah, hearing the way you speak now and looking at the plates that you keep spinning and how you handle that, and again, yeah, pairing that with a conversation I had last week with a young photographer who picked a camera up 3 years ago, and she's absolutely killing it. It's through dedication, hard work, focus, all of this kind of stuff. And this kind of a realization for me that, yeah, it's time to get a bit more serious, I think, rather than waiting for things to come through the door.
Yeah.
You're a good example to draw from, I think.
Maybe.
Seeing that it's possible, you know?
Well, anything's possible, but I'm still a duck floating around with the crazy little paddle, you know, like the little web legs underneath the water. Everybody's like, "Oh, look at the duck! He's so calm." You know, it's that kind of thing. I didn't invent that analogy either. It's a very famous, you know, it's that quote: "The ducks are constantly, you know, furiously pedaling underneath, but they're like floating calm."
Yeah,
like I don't think anybody can compare it. Yeah, I just don't think anybody can compare it to anybody. And I think you got to be careful when you do. You can look and say, okay, that's a marker. Maybe I'm going to try and reach that, hit that, do this, da, da, da. But other than that, I mean, I don't know what your life is. You don't know what my life is, right? Mm. We're basing things off of either what you're hearing from my mouth or what you've seen maybe online. And as we all know, there's nothing online seems to be real. So we don't really... nobody gets the picture, like the full picture. I don't know, but I know I need to be active. So that part's clear.
I think what I will say, what is actually quite refreshing as well, is that on the side of all of the things that you've got going on and the good that you do with the community and the growth that you have with the show and all this kind of thing, there's a humbleness to it all.
As you keep getting punched in the gut, you'll probably stay quite humble. You know, it's like it's the thing. You know, I sort of like it's like fighters. It's like I mean, they're a little brash here and there, but most of them are pretty fucking cool, smooth, humble. Head down,
I guess because they know what it's like to
take a hit.
You have
to take hits. If you don't take hits, you have no clue. Because then when you fall, it's going to hurt bad.
That feels like quite a neat place to just ask a final question.
Yeah,
and this is out of curiosity more than anything.
Okay.
Take away Burgundy Lion and the other places. Take away first half. Take away goal initiatives. They just disappear overnight tomorrow.
Yeah.
What do you wake up and do?
I start a soccer camp for kids. I go get my licenses so I can become the highest level of youth coach there is. I start a fucking podcast, bro. And then I open a pub. And then I start a community... give back program that uses football for good.
Well, based on that answer, it sounds like you're doing exactly what it is you're meant to be doing in this
world. I think so, honestly. Like, it's really, like I said, I'd like things to go a little faster, but that's my own thing. But I'm on this path that I am very excited for. It's still, like, I'm as excited today as I was when you and I first met. Nothing's changed. Like, actually, nothing's changed if you think about it. It's the same conversation. It's just sort of, it's just a couple of years later, but I'm still literally doing the exact same things. things have taken shape. Some stuff's open, some stuff's closed, some stuff made more money, sometimes less. People have come and gone, you know, but we've, the show's had its art. It's gone up, it's gone down, it's gone up, it's gone down. I got lazy, then I'm not so lazy. You know, like, there's lots of, all this has happened. But it's all still the same categories that we were talking about when we first met. And those categories have been the same, other than the podcast, which was added in 20, so 4 years ago, or culture show. It was the pub and community and football and all that stuff, you know, from the get-go.
Yeah.
Since the world, since our worlds have connected.
Well, it's been great to connect with you again.
Yeah, after man. A few absolutely. Years. Congratulations on this. I'm excited.
Oh, cheers, mate. It's cool. Yeah, it's been great to see you again. And yeah, fast forward a few years, a lot has changed. But then, as you say, in many ways, nothing has changed.
Right. It never does. That's exactly what you just said is exactly. Yeah, but it's what it is. It's like when people think they're missing parties and then they go to the party. It's the exact same party they thought they were going to go.
Mate, it's been great to see you again. I really appreciate you spending the time.
Thanks,
after
dude,
so long. I know we disconnected somehow, you know, life did that, but really is great to see your face again, mate, and to hear that you're fighting fit over there.
Yeah, we're fighting.
Yeah, and I've genuinely taken a lot from the conversation tonight.
Cool.
So I appreciate that.
And the second it goes out, man, we'll push it everywhere.
I appreciate it.
Cool. You never know where things lead.
I'll leave you to run in the dynasty over there.
I'm just hanging out, dude. We're having a conversation. I got some mints. I got some water. It's all good.
Mate, where did it all go so wrong?
Yeah, right? Where did it go all so wrong? Okay.
Bye, mate.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Don't forget to hit the follow button, and I'll see you next time.